Thank you for that prayer. First thing, I need to get something off my chest right away. And it's the first time I've ever worn a sweater under a suit jacket. And the reason being is I was afraid I was going to literally pop the buttons on my chest. Years ago, I always wanted a girl. And I came to the conclusion, the way farming was going and the boys I was having, that I couldn't fill my whole backyard with boys to have a girl, so I never did get one. But just Friday evening, my baby had a baby girl, so that's why I'm wearing a sweater this morning. Yeah, we're excited. It's very special. But the girls that have come with the boys are very special in our lives, too, so we're very grateful for that. I was intrigued again how the Holy Spirit works and the groundwork that was laid through our Bible study. Thank you, Brock. You should never underestimate God and His goodness when it comes to prayer and submitting and finding the way. There was a lot of those verses that I had looked into too and wondering if I should be going there with my message, but not directly, but indirectly, yes, somewhat similar. And so from that perspective, I'm just so grateful. And maybe just a plug for the elder board here. There's something that I'm going to make a suggestion that you can take to your meeting. And I know it puts more responsibility on and makes us all get up earlier. But there's something that I miss that I had that we used to do as when I was a pastor, and that is the worship team would all meet, the man preaching, the superintendents, and those leading out in a special way would meet for prayer prior to the service. I'm just going to make it as a suggestion. You take it to your next meeting and you talk about it, and you just meet prior, and maybe there's something on your heart. You know, it's been amazing when somebody has even shared a struggle or a confession, how the Lord just worked throughout that whole morning. And I was touched. I was moved by the Spirit this morning just listening in. Anyway, to kind of pave a path here, Jan and I like taking walks and the Gownstown trail from Gownstown to towards Listowel, an old railway track. We walk sometimes, and it's a beautiful trail to walk. There's a stream on each side and trees most of the way. But I've observed over the years walking that, and that is on the right side of the trail as you walk towards Listowel. It's kind of marshy and a little more rugged. Almost a green belt, maybe. Nothing's touched. The trees all fall over and they lie as they will, and they rot there. And there's various sizes of trees in there, as you know, growth does, and storms and winds take things down because of weaknesses at different stages in life, possible diseases, but it's more of a clustered mess. And then on the left side, as you approach the woods, there, I think a farmer at one point planted a bit of a forest there. So the trees are all in order and straight in line, and the trees are all tucked and trim. And then the second part of that woods is, I observe to me as a beauty and a painting of life, and maybe even as the church. It's cleaned up to a degree, but it looks a little more rugged. Just recently, my wife and I noticed a tree on that prospective area that had a tremendous growth coming out the side. And so we checked, and sure, it was just a wood, hard wood. Probably damaged somewhere along in life through a storm or a branch breaking off or whatever the case, but it's quite a unique looking object. It looks like a big wart on the side of the tree. And also within that, different sized trees, there's some beautiful trees, there's some trees that are not quite as nice maybe, you know, different circumstances and situations in that perspective of life as we know it and the storms that God allows and weather. But at the same time, the farmer seems to clean it up a bit. He cleans up the dead trees and it just looks a little more pleasant, not quite as rugged as the other side. Humanity is much the same way. When you think of us in life, we look across the audience here and we see different sizes, shapes. And I'm not talking about the physical as much as I am the spiritual. We all know, for instance, I have a wound on my knee here that happened as a school grade, wiped out in bicycle, and tore right down to my kneecap and was a terrible mess, infection, whatever all happened. That's a story for another time, but I still have that wound, and it looks kind of ugly. It's not real beautiful, but, you know, I'd have to really think hard to actually identify with the pain of the moment when it was full of gravel, stones, and dirt, and when the needle went in there to freeze it up so you could wash it out and such like. I have to think hard. And so we think of it in a spiritual sense of the wounds of life. And unfortunately, when we ponder the thought, sometimes as a child, there are some wounds that are in there. And they're healed, yes, but if you think hard enough, it still hurts. But we're glad it's healed. And I had to think of that as Brock was talking of the prayers of and forgiveness and confession and what that does, and I may get into that a little bit yet as well. But here in the near recent, actually since just the week of Christmas, I believe, till, you know, mid-February or so, there was four people that I read their obituary of. And it got me to thinking. The first one was a 93-year-old man, Ken Brenneman. Some of you know him. Man that I worked side by side with for some years, probably 10 years, as he being my pastor, and probably 10 years I was his pastor. So there was relation things and such like back and forth and different things and influencing each other this and that way. But so it was. It was life. It was part of my being, my part where God put me in life. And then there was another man, 68 years old, Don Robertson from David Carson Farms. Probably he was the first man to be my cattle hauler when I started farming in 89. And if those of you that went to Carson auctions would see him holding up the signs at the machinery, and he'd take bids, probably took many a bid from me. Maybe some fake ones, I don't know. But anyway, so it is. His obituary was there, passed away suddenly in his home with his family by his side. Probably had seen him several weeks before, chatted with him a little bit. And then there's 57-year-old Connie Marsh from PV Mart. She was there as long as I knew, TSC store in Listowel. Did business with her. It was either Friday night or Saturday night. Sunday morning, she had a massive heart attack. Never came back to life. It was over. And of course, some of you knew 39-year-old Jolene Kipfer. Most likely, one of the babies is a pastor that I held and prayed a blessing on her, possibly in the hospital, maybe in her home. God called her home. As I started reminiscing and thinking of some of these lives, there's a few thoughts that came to me. And now, first one was this. Every one of those people could have stood up one morning and read maybe this, and if it would have been like this coming week, I would have thought more on the light side of things, as you see this bump in my head, Peter Schantz, in his 60th year, succumbed to injuries due to knocking his head on a door. It's life, it's reality. Death is all around us, and it's a part of life. And the sooner we see the facts and maintain the thought that, you know, we need to prepare ourselves for that very aspect. And then the second thought that comes to me is, was there positive fruit in my life that reflected on theirs? Because the Ecclesiastes writer wrote, as a tree, whether it falls to the north or to the south or wherever it falls, that's where it lies. And from that perspective, the thought he's bringing out is, whatever is done is done. Whatever you said and didn't say is finished. It's all over. It's final. The only reason the trees in the forests get moved in the body that looks beautiful is because somebody takes care of it in that way. But that's physical. Spiritually, it's done. It doesn't matter what kind of a funeral we have, where we get buried, or whether we're cremated and scattered over the world. The soul of man never dies, and what is done is done. In other words, when the death angel gets the call to strike, you or I, it's finished. What we have done, we have done. What we've said, we have said. It's final. It's a done deal. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. So from that perspective, as Bible believers, or as Christians, we know where we're at, but if you're not there yet today, the first thing we need to do is believe and accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and make Him master and the leader of our life. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. God has already done all of the work, so in good faith, we receive it. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we believe, we accept, and we're Christian. The second step is exactly what Brock was talking about. The first thing we need to do, and probably the first counsel that I would give to a person that's born again, is take responsibility for where you've sinned and where you've erred against man. Take the responsibility as a man in Christ to make it right. Confess your faults one to another. I know it's not easy, and it's the hardest thing ever. I wasn't a Christian until I was almost 19 years old, and through my public school years, I pulled off a lot of stunts that were not wise, but the Spirit of God pressed in me to go back. Do what you can to make what's right. Some of the cases, it was possible, others there weren't. I had very hot fingers when it came to shoplifting. I stole a lot of things in my young days with great regret. And I wanted to do what I could to pay it back. I couldn't in every situation. They were gone. I could not find them. But at least I eased my conscience, setting myself free for trying to do what I could. Live peaceably with all men, with much as lieth in you. So there's a work and an effort that needs to be done. On top of that, confessing our faults one to another as we go through church life, there's also a healing aspect on the person that you've sinned against that you will never realize. I experienced something probably as, could have been as young as 4 or 5 years old. Became a Christian, that hindered me, it bothered me into my married life. I know some counselor would say that, take the responsibility and confront the person and tell him how much he's hurt you and erred against you. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but the Spirit never allowed me to do that. One day in my work, a man, bear with me, walked on my farm. He confessed that sin against me. I had forgiven him. Many times I had forgiven him. I talked with him. I related with him. I gave him over to Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit got a hold of his life and he confessed that sin. What that did to me, I have to think hard now what that sin was. It's going away. But every time I used to see that man, it kind of came up and made me. So take responsibility. Take responsibility. Remember, we're growing a tree that's going to fall. Humility. I've been on the other side of the fence too, where I've sinned against someone and the Spirit worked in my life, in my heart, and I had to go back. That is so hard. It is so hard. But it's so freeing. Ephesians 4:22-24. So we believe, we accept, and we take responsibility because we have renewed our mind, we've changed our thinking, we're a new man in Christ. So we've put off, and now we're putting on. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Jesus, and throughout the Word of God, we hear the commands of be holy because I am holy. You know, in the mind of man, it seems so impossible to become like him. But we need to take that step and surrender and desire and seek holiness. And the only way to do that is when we have that ongoing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we're actually literally willing to take our shoes off and go to the holiest and holies and just cry out to Abba Father and ask for that blessing that you may receive and be anointed with the Spirit of God, that you sense His holiness, and really the only holiness is because of that in you through Christ, not because of us or even what we do or say. I quote, I couldn't find a name to this quote, renewing our minds with the truth unveils the perspectives of God and His possibilities for our lives and dispels deceptions, lies, and schemes. This empowers us to maintain our faith and anchors our thinking in God's word. This is the power of the renewed mind. It's beautiful. You know, when I really stop and think of that thought of our minds renewed and refreshed in a way, when you get into difficult places, tough decisions or whatever, we know that the Bible promised to us that with a renewed mind and the Spirit working in us, the truth will be revealed to us. Bible talks about, you know, checking and the powers and the different spirits. And we're living in a time where we need to do that. Oh, we need to do that, brothers and sisters, to just really not just adopt every thought and thing that's out there, because there's so many that just have a twist in it. And I'm not even close to smart enough to figure it out as I just read it. I need that endued power by the Holy Spirit to really reveal it to me. And the only way I can do that is if I'm really willing to enter the holiest of holy places where God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, can just relate and speak to me and give me a peace. Number two is planting. When we think of trees, my wife and I have planted many trees over the years. We love planting trees. It's maybe one of our weaknesses. But there's probably things we need to educate ourselves in as to the kind of trees and where you plant them. Certain areas, yeah, you just have to carry a little more water. But when we think of the tree of life and the power of the gospel, we want to plant them by a stream. Since we moved from the farm to where we are now, we had, after Jan's mother passed away, they had a bunch of little oak saplings in the backyard, and we planted a little oak, actually a couple of them, just to make sure we have one, in our yard there at the farm. And of course, the one didn't make it, and the other one got mowed off once, but it seemed to be enough life there that we left it. Again, just a picture of life, and you and I going through life with scars. Yes, that tree now is taller than me, and then we started off as just a wee little sapling. And it's got a little scar on the side there, which happened because one of the boys clipped her off with a lawnmower. Anyway, there it is. It's a memory that, and we transplanted that tree over to where we live now. And for lack of knowing for sure, had to do it before the house was built. And so I just plopped her beside the pig barn. I don't know if I'll move it someday or not, but it's doing extremely well. It's right beside the pig barn, the heat and the vent of the pig barn, that warmth there, and I don't have eave troughs on it. The water just runs right down. She's just growing like a weed. I think I'm just going to let her grow and watch it, because I won't be here. An oak tree, you know, grows a little slow, so the taller it gets until I can enjoy it, I let her grow. Anyway, I'd like to tell a story, and I want to try to mind it, and this is a true story. But anyway, as a probably a boy from about 11 to 15, I had a trap line along, if some of you know, I live down just other side of Conestoga, where the Grand River, or the Conestoga River dumps into the Grand, and then the Grand flew down stream there just to pass the farm. Anyway, we had different creeks and passages from that flowed into the river and had hill, so yeah, it was good trapping. So I did muskrats and raccoons mostly, a little bit of fox. I wasn't too successful, wasn't quite smart enough for them. But anyway, I'd run this trap line, and every morning do my chores, and I had to run the trap. That was one of the deals Dad always had. You run a trap line, you run it too, because you can't let animals suffer. So every morning before school, chores had to be up a certain time, and I ran that trap line. It was probably an hour. And anyway, I checked my whole trap line. But over the years, at the stream, there was this huge beech tree. Beautiful in the fall. Just, it was gorgeous. But it was on the one side, the way the river flows down and the stream of the water, that side was brutal. Oh, it was rough. It was had lots of warts and just a lot of tree damage. But it grew. It just grew, and it seemed like it was just sucking the stream right up in there, and it was a tough old tree. Well, that flats is a flood zone. And every spring, pretty much, and not these last years, of course, but I'd wake up a spring morning, and yes, if you were trapping before the major spring floods, you definitely made sure your traps were secure. And that meant steel posts pounded in good and deep, or they would be gone. There was times that flats flooded from the Crowsfoot corner all the way across, which you golfers know as the Rim golf course down there would have water all the way across. And so by where the stream is where I trapped was probably 10, 12 feet high with just tremendous speed. And you at that point, the rivers froze solid. They'd crack up in the spring, so you'd have big chunks of ice. And whatever debris came from the Conestoga Golf Course, benches, whatever, came down, and you'd see it go. I always enjoyed it, especially after you'd go collect all these toys and things in the woods. But anyway, having said that, you can about imagine what those trees had to take. And it looked kind of scrubby because some trees didn't do as well. Just kind of, a lot of thorn trees. But this beech was tough. Anyway, long story short, this beech tree had some holes in it. And as I observed over the years, I thought there's a family of coons living in there. Well, it went a few years to get my dad convinced that I could cut this tree down and get those coons. I was sure it was just the ideal spot for a coon. He said, finally, getting a little older, he said, well, you know what the deal is? I've told you it before. You cut that tree down, you cut it up and split it for firewood. Well, I was getting a little older, 14, 15, and that winter, there is a young man, or not real young, but a man, that worked for my dad off and on, and he needed money. And so I threw it in front of him if he'd be willing to help me. I thought, if I'd have that second help, that would do it. And he said, yeah, you cut the prize in half and I'll help you. Well, I was convinced there's coon, so I waited until the prime time. Probably would have been about January, so that the fir is at its prime. Better price for it. And got him convinced. We took our chainsaw. And one thing I want to remind you of, my dad did not own a hydraulic wood splitter. This was an axe and a spaldox. If you're not German, that's a, I don't know. Ray, do you know a name for spaldox? No. Yeah. Anyway, it's got a wider wedge and supposed to help split wood. Anyway, away we went. I got my 22 and hoping for a prize. But anyway, we cut the tree down and like a big tree, crash, and the branches flew and you had the mess and you had the work. Well, I stood there by the hole, stood there and walked around. You better cut here yet. And guess what? It was as empty as it was standing there. Not a coon, not a prize. But you know what Dad's deal was? Cut and split, prize or no prize. Well, that's where I want to get to, the story of that working up that tree. And there's a story there of hard work. And as we got into that wood, remember I told you the floods and that side of the wood? Oh, you could barely split that stuff. It was hard work. I think that tree laid for a couple winters until we were done. But the bottom line I want to bring out there yet is the gift of mercy. After the 2 years rolled around and my dad realized that we're never going to get that all cut up or split, he rented a wood splitter for me. Was that ever fun? And how relieved I was after that tree was finally worked up and I got my end of the deal done. But I'd like you to think a bit on the mercy of my dad there. You know, sometimes when we're working with people, sometimes we get calloused. And we can't see beyond because we don't understand that wound. It hurts like crazy. That person maybe doesn't respond quite like you and I are supposed to. But Jesus, when he called me out, he saw past all of that. He saw past all of that and he said, "It's finished. I've done it for you." Sometimes we as a body of trees need to be the old beech. Tough. Calloused. But inside, a heart like a dove. Gentle. Gentle. Sometimes those old beech tree, that old beech tree held big birds. You know what? Strong trees in the congregation sometimes hold big birds with really hurting hearts. Because they've been damaged and we don't always understand what's under there. Sometimes as big beech trees in the congregation, we'll even carry it through with other trees knocking on our branches. They maybe don't agree with you. But because you're a strong beech tree, you just take it. You take it and you don't say much. I know of some beautiful families that have come out of congregations that were the big birds with the hurting hearts. And in that congregation, there was big beech trees that held those birds until they could fly and spread their own wings and be effective in their community. Sometimes the big beech trees, who we want to be, get mixed up and forget that there's a Heavenly Father that we're accountable to. He knows the full picture. And if you don't quite get it right, He will. He will. Every tree will land as it is when the death angel calls. Tree by the stream. I'd like to just read Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Sometimes life is hard to comprehend or even understand why God allows certain things. This is why it's so important to bathe in the promises of His Word. As we root deep into the stream of the water of life, we grow in truth. The more we understand the truth, the freer we become. Jesus said in John 18:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Always seek truth. Always be honest with yourself. Allow your heart to be honest. Brock brought out, confess your sins and your faults one with another. I believe that's one of the main ingredients to stay in line and to grow a good tree, that you fall properly, because don't underestimate yourself. Take heed lest you fall. We're all human, and it's all there. And you know, sometimes I think the more responsibility we get and the more things that we are responsible for, the more Satan is there throwing bait and tripping us and wanting us to fall. I still believe being honest with my own heart is what keeps me on the straight and narrow. There's things in my own life that I know that I myself have to deal with personally and no one else, because it's not your problem, it's mine. The truth will set you free. Be honest with yourself, young men. If there's things you know are going to trip you, or young ladies, first of all, confess it to yourself, acknowledge it, and recognize it in your heart. You do that, you'll go a long way. And each time it comes, be honest with yourself. Don't try and pretend it's not there, or keep feeding the passion, because it will grow. And it will grow, and there'll be no end until you stop and recognize and say, "Yes, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this on my own, but I know that I have to be honest with my heart and tell you where I'm at with it." And then from there, men, ladies, you have things that you feel would help to confess to someone and have them pray for you. It's tremendously healing. It's powerful. It's real. It works. But you need to be honest with yourself and then with others as well. Is there ever a time that you wish God would just reveal a black and white answer? Maybe something you're not understanding, whether it's something in the Bible, or maybe it's just not simply knowing what direction you should go at a crossroads in life. You may even apply the principles from God's Word, like I just mentioned, and I think it's awesome, but I want to take you a step further, because don't forget, you're responsible for you as a tree. No one else, and I don't care what home you grew up in, I don't care what happened to you. Your response to every circumstance and situation in your life is up to you and how you're going to face it and accept it and allow the power that's revealed through God's Word to take you through and be a strong tree. And I say that kindly, because I know it doesn't always feel good. And there's a right time and a wrong time. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's a pleasant way. And I think that's what's so important about our trees as being fruits and revealing ourselves and trying to help somebody, that though we're that tough, strong, and willing to take some stuff on our shoulders, our heart is soft and kind. I had that in my own experience in my life. Just prior to coming to Hessen here, There was a man that said something to me. It just knocked me right off my feet. The same thing was said. Kind words coming from a kind heart, from a tough tree that changed my direction. Thank you, Jonathan. I'll talk to you about it sometime. I was hurting. I was in the mud. And he helped me out. But beyond that, now we counsel, and I think it's good. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You've went to someone, you've talked, you're trying to make up your mind, but at the end of the day, you and I have to make the decision. You and I have to live with our decision, because we're the tree that's going to fall and be accountable when we stand before God. So number four is wrestle. Wrestle with God. Like Jesus did, find your Gethsemane. Find your garden where you're comfortable with wrestling. Where it takes you to the point that you roll over wherever. Fight. And continue to fight. Ask God hard questions. And ask Him if He would reveal to you what should be done. Sometimes He will use that multitude of counsel, and He'll break it down, and He'll take you right around a couple wrestling matches, and He'll take you down and in and out and through, and it's tough, it's sweat, you don't understand, but finally, boom, there's truth revealed. God will give you an answer, but you got to fight. Sometimes it takes a lot of determination. Wrestling matches do. Never forget when I was in grade 8, parents wouldn't allow me to be on the wrestling team, but there was a match right at our school, and they all knew I was from the farm, and they were short a guy, and the match was over lunch. Wow, I didn't even have to talk to Dad. And they called on me, wondered if I would. Oh, was that the day of my life? But I'm telling you, that was a fight of my life, but it was so much fun. But you know what? It was more determination in my head that I'm going to show these guys than the real wrestler I was. Yeah, I took it in gym. I learned some moves, some matches, but man, was that fun when it went, yes, 3 points for Breslau. We need to fight. Don't be afraid. God loves you. He doesn't care your feelings. He knows them way better than you know them. Just fight with them. Get in there like Jacob did and ask the blessing. Young guys, mine started in the hay mow. I don't care if that's where you want to go, in the hay mow or wherever you go. Just find your spot all alone. Go in the woods somewhere. Now it's just wherever I'm worn out, I just sit down and plead with the Father. Last of all, I got to keep going here. Sharing the fruit. James said, even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. So fruit sharing is the evidence of our faith. A person walking close to God has an active conscience. Where we've sinned or failed against someone, I mentioned before, in humility we'll take that right, the right measure, and do what we can to make it right. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not really easily angered. It keeps no regards of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. Joy and peace go hand in hand with a clear conscience and a good relation with Jesus. Long-suffering is strength and perseverance and a truckload of mercy. Gentleness is wrapped in kindness. Goodness is just doing good and being generous, especially in the spiritual sense of restoring. Galatians 6:10, as we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Meekness is humility in action. Temperance is self-control with no respecter of persons. Jeremiah, I'd close with Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For she shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. God bless until your tree falls.